KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's partly cloudy now and 45 degrees. We look forward to be partly to mostly sunny today, a high of 68. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN State and Area News. In Iowa news, Des Moines Waterworks CEO and General Manager Bill Stowe died Sunday from an aggressive form of cancer. KCCI reports last month the 60-year-old Stowe informed the utilities board and staff in a letter that he had a particularly aggressive form of cancer that provided few options for treatment. Stowe had served as the CEO and GM of the Des Moines Waterworks since 2012. Prior to joining the utility, Stowe served for 13 years as Assistant Manager of Public Works in Des Moines, where he had a cult-like following for his long silver hair and uncanny resemblance to actor Russell Crowe. KCCI said there are tentative plans for a service this Wednesday at 1 o'clock at St. Anthony's Church in Des Moines, followed by a reception and celebration of life at the Waterworks from 4 until 7 p.m. An order for a partial release of mandatory evacuation order was issued Saturday by Pacific Junction Mayor Andy Young. The area for release of mandatory evacuation and allowed reentry is the western portion of the city of Pacific Junction from Depot Street, the railroad tracks, as the eastern boundary, west of the city limits. Reentry routes are 221st Street South from Glenwood to 195th Street North into the city of Pacific Junction. All of the roads into the city of Pacific Junction remained closed. The residents and owners in those areas are allowed to return to their property as of this date of order, which is over the weekend, during the daylight hours to determine the viability of the premises. Flood water has subsided sufficiently in the areas mentioned, and road conditions are satisfactory enough to allow reentry into the homes and businesses. If electrical service or natural gas service has been temporarily disconnected, power may be reestablished to the property, as set forth by guidelines from MidAmerican Energy once an inspection has been done. Governor Kim Reynolds over the weekend received word that an additional assistance is now available to public and nonprofit entities in flood-impacted counties. A disaster declaration issued by President Trump on March 23rd made 56 counties eligible to apply for emergency work and emergency protective measures assistance under the Federal Public Assistance Program. FEMA on April 11th announced that 13 of those counties are now eligible to apply for assistance, additional assistance for permanent work through the Public Assistance Program, to include the replacement or repair of disaster damage facilities such as roads, bridges, and public buildings. Among the counties included in the latest announcement is Adair, Cass, Guthrie, and Union. 20 other counties are also eligible for permanent work through the Public Assistance Program, including Crawford, Dallas, Fremont, Harrison, Mills, Monona, Pottawatomie, and Shelby. Additional counties may be added to the Presidential Disaster Declaration for a Public Assistance Program. The Presidential Disaster Declaration also made available federal individual assistance for five counties, which provides aid to eligible homeowners, renters, and businesses. Residents in Fremont, Harrison, Mills, Monona, and Woodbury counties are eligible to apply for the program regardless of income. Individuals and business owners who sustained losses in the designated area can begin applying for assistance by registering online at www.disasterassistance.gov or by calling 800-621-3362. The toll-free numbers will be operational from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m., 7 days a week until further notice. Five people were arrested on separate charges over the weekend in Creston, and two property owners reported incidents of vehicle vandalism. Creston police say 24-year-old Colin Zachary Wilbur of Bay City, Michigan, was arrested early Saturday morning for OWI first offense. His bond was set at $1,000. Saturday afternoon, 47-year-old Anita Ruth Michael of Creston was arrested for assault. She was being held in the Adams County Jail before being released on a $300 bond. Saturday evening, 32-year-old Brody Lee Pingree of Creston was arrested at his home for violation of a protection order, and he was released after seeing the magistrate. 27-year-old Clara Margaret Winfrey of Prescott was arrested Saturday night for violation of a protection order. She was held in the Adams County Jail until seen by the magistrate and then released. And 49-year-old Randy Eugene Overholzer of Creston was arrested Saturday evening for driving while revoked. He was later released on $1,000 bond. A pickup truck was vandalized sometime late Saturday night and early Sunday morning in Creston. Two tires on the Ford F-250 were punctured while the vehicle was parked at the Creston Supertel Motel. The loss was estimated at $200. And a man residing in the 700 block of West Adams Street in Creston reported that someone vandalized his vehicle while it was parked outside of his home. The loss was estimated at $4,000. A woman who failed to yield to oncoming traffic was transported to the Greater Regional Medical Center in Creston Saturday afternoon. Authorities say 91-year-old Eloise White of Creston stopped at the intersection of Prairie and North Cherry Street in Creston before proceeding east into the intersection. Her 1999 Oldsmobile was struck on a passenger side by a southbound 2006 Chevy Silverado pickup driven by 49-year-old Eric Eklund of Afton. Eklund was not injured in the crash. The accident happened around 1:23 p.m. Saturday. White complained of chest pain before being transported to the hospital. She was cited for failure to obey a stop sign and yield the right-of-way. Damage amounted to $3,000. Elsewhere in the news, Cass County Extension is hosting an informational meeting this week for local residents who want to learn more about the invasive emerald ash borer pest. In mid-February, the presence of EAB was confirmed for the first time in Cass County on a private property site in rural Messina. Since the Iowa first detection in 2010, and the invasive tree-killing pest has spread to 66 counties. EAB is a small metallic green beetle native to Asia that attacks ash species. In its larval stage, the insect feeds just beneath the bark, disrupting the movement of water and nutrients within the tree. Infested trees usually die within 2 to 4 years. The meeting will be held on Thursday, April 18th from 6:30 until 8 p.m. at the Cass County Community Center in Atlantic. There is no cost to attend the meeting and no pre-registration is required. That meeting is for any interested home or landowner and other concerned citizens. It'll focus on identifying susceptible ash trees with EAB insect and signs of infestation, tree safety, treatment options, other methods of spread for EAB, and options to replace ash trees will also be covered. The presenters for that event are Dr. Donald Lewis, ISU professor and extension entomologist, Mike Kinter, IDEL's entomologist and EAB coordinator, and Lindsay Barney, district forester with the Iowa DNR. Time will be allowed for questions and answers. For more information about the workshop, go to www.extension.iastate.edu/CASS. You can stop by the Extension office in Atlantic or call 243-1132. The City of Atlantic's Parks and Recreation Department's Board of Directors will meet this evening at 5:15 in the Council's chambers at City Hall. On their agenda is consideration and possible approval of bids for a new mower and regular updates on the Schulberg Development Project, East Ridge Washout Repair, and Millette Community Gardens. Then his report to the board, Interim Parks and Rec Director Brian Rasmussen, is expected to note the Schulberg Campground is open. Sunnyside Park roads are open, as are most bathrooms. Now the search for summer help has begun. He'll also discuss summer swim coach applications and provide an update on the flooding at the Schulberg Rec area. The Griswold School Board is set to meet at 5:30 this evening in the central office at the Middle School High School building. Among the new business items on their agenda is approving the list of 2019 graduates, discussion and possible action on the middle school athletic practice schedule for 2019-2020, consideration of the approval of a resolution requesting that the Iowa Girls High School Athletic Union and the Iowa High School Athletic Association reconsider a classification system. Also approval of a snow makeup plan and approval of sharing agreements with Villisca, Riverside, and CAM, also Atlantic, and approval of a resolution of intent to sell property, approval of a technology charge, and personnel contracts and related handbooks. Those are just a few of the items on the agenda for the Griswold School Board. Last week, the Audubon School Board held a special meeting with regard to the fiscal year 2019-2020 budget. This evening, they'll meet in a regular session at the high school boardroom beginning at 7 p.m. Some of the items on their agenda is approval of the senior graduation list, acceptance and approval of the fiscal year 2018 audit report, excusing seniors from makeup days, an AEA purchasing agreement for FY 2020, renewal of a sharing agreement with regard to an elementary counselor, approval of the Audubon County Hazard Mitigation Plan, and salary increases for staff not represented by a collective bargaining unit, and personnel matters. The board will also discuss the emergency management plan and receive regular reports from Superintendent Brett Gibbs, along with other scheduled reports. And a weekend crash in central Iowa has claimed a life, as Pat Powers reports.
The Iowa State Patrol and Ames Police are investigating a crash involving a motorcycle and a vehicle on Sunday afternoon that claimed the life of the motorcycle operator. The accident happened at the intersection of South Duff and South 2nd Avenue. Rescue crews transported the motorcycle operator to Mary Greeley Medical Center, where the victim died of injuries. The name of the victim has not been released, with the crash under investigation. Reporting for Radio Iowa from Webster City, I'm Pat Powers.
Authorities say two people inside of a sport utility vehicle died when it was struck by a train in Cedar Rapids. crash was reported around 4:20 p.m. Sunday near Tate Cummins Memorial Park. The names of the deceased and other details about the crash have not been released, and the crash is under investigation. And a small crossover SUV was leaving a private residence near Danville late Saturday morning when it was struck by a train. The Iowa State Patrol says the accident in Des Moines County happened around 11:30 a.m. southeast of Danville. The SUV, a 2017 Chevy Trax driven by 29-year-old Amber Curry, was leaving the residence drive onto Old Highway 34 when Curry failed to yield to an eastbound train at the private driveway crossing. Her vehicle struck broadside and rolled over before coming to rest in a ditch. Curry and her passengers, 27-year-old Laura Birch and 26-year-old Anna Smith, all from Burlington, died at the scene. Smith was the only vehicle occupant wearing a seatbelt. No controls were present at the private railroad crossing. The accident remains under investigation. That's a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.